Redacted Media and GhostHat.net present The Film Illogical Society. On today's episode, we continue our countdown of the BBC's 100 Greatest Comedies of All Time. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Scholes and Chad Halverson.
Welcome to another episode of the Film Illogical Society, the countdown show, where we are, myself, Chris Scholes, and
Chad Halverson,
are reviewing the BBC Top 100 Comedies of All Time, and we are officially at number 93.
Woo! I left the champagne at home, I'm sorry.
I know. 93 is an exciting number. This week, it is a film that the creators did not think would ever get made.
Nope.
And they did not think that they would last as long as they have on television. We, of course, are talking about South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Which, can I point out, I really didn't get the joke in that title until, like, years later. Because, I mean, this was 99. I was in high school still, so, you know, I didn't know what a circumcised penis was. I went to Catholic school.
So you were...
Uncircumcised, I should say.
You were a perfect, like, test case for the actual film and what the film is talking about then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's just get some initial thoughts. What are your initial thoughts before we get into plot synopsis?
This is another film I didn't have to watch for today because I have it memorized. It is one of the best musicals out there in modern history. I think Trey Parker and Matt Stone, yeah, they've probably wavered off the past couple of years, but they are... Really, I'm talking more Trey Parker because Matt Stone's like a very great producer. Not that he's a bad writer. I'm going on a big tangent here, by the way.
You really are.
Trey Parker is pretty much the one that writes, and Matt Stone's kind of like how I like to write with TC. Like, he can write. I don't like writing it down, but I like being in the room and throwing everything around. But that's why they work as such a good team. And Matt Stone was always like the business guy, while Trey Parker was like the super weird, eccentric guy. But together, they're amazing. And this movie, if you think it's childish, or if you don't like South Park, or never really think you got it, like, these guys are very topical. They're very political, and they could be topical and political because their show is literally made in a way where they can make it in a week. There's a documentary out there called 6 Days to Air that came out a couple of years ago, and it goes through literally the whole process, like from the conception to the episode to the time it goes to air, and it's literally 6 days. It's crazy. Not a lot of shows do that. The only shows that really have that type of schedule are, like, you know, talk shows that have to have different jokes every night, but you're talking about like a full 22-minute episode written, sometimes rewritten the day it's supposed to air, re-recorded, and sent out on a Wednesday. It's crazy. Anyways, that being said, they got popular real quick, and the next step for them was a movie. And of course, Comedy Central's like, well, you got to make a South Park movie. So of course they were going to try to make something that would test the patience of parents and test the patience of censors, because they are very... Yeah, well, they're I think they're libertarian.
Here's their political. Okay, so now this is going to get to TVMA. So I need to remember to mark this TVMA. But in an interview, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, when asked about politics, they said that they hate... They hate Democrats.
Yeah.
But they fucking hate Republicans.
Yeah.
And it started like this new, like party called the South Park Republicans that people were jumping on. It was before the Tea Party movement. And it was like these Republicans who were fiscally conservative but socially liberal.
I mean, that's a friggin' libertarian. Like,
yeah, I know.
They're libertarian. I mean, and they've said in many, and here's the thing, they've been in many interviews and they've said a lot of things. Some things are fake. And because they're smart. Like a lot of times in the beginning, when they would do interviews, they would just come out as this like crazy, you know, duo. Like, hey, these are the South Park guys. And ooh, it was really taboo and weird in the late 90s. Like their home video series, for the first two or three seasons, they would introduce each episode like in front of a fireplace with Christmas sweaters on, and they rarely like to be themselves in public, because I don't think they're as weird as we think they are.
No, but I think they do kind of put that front. I mean, they have a different sort of comedy.
Yeah.
You know. So before we get too far, I do want to talk about the two creators and talk about their library without getting too much, because we do have another film by them on our list. So I'm just telling you this now, Chad, but we should not talk about Team America. Because that is on the list. So we will get a chance to talk about Team America.
Fine.
So, Orgasmo, you can talk about that all you want. But Team America, let's leave that. So before we get too far, why don't you talk a little bit about this movie? What is it about?
Okay. So if you know nothing about South Park, it's the story of these four boys that live in a small town in the middle of nowhere, Colorado. At the beginning of the movie, the kids find out, and it's great, because again, this is a musical, so the movie starts with a musical number, like all good musicals do, and it's Stan Marsh, one of like the key protagonists, singing a song about living in a quiet mountain town, but it's filled with all these weird characters, and pretty much it just introduces the world, if you've never seen South Park, and the kids all get together and they want to go see this new movie by Terrence and Phillip, these Canadian actors that they love to watch on TV. And they get to the movie theater and they can't get in. They eventually figure out how to see the movie. And of course, like, it's full of swear words and dirty language that parents, and some parents still do, but especially in the 90s, parents were very uppity about, you know, language and dirty humor. And it was seen as like, low comedy, and essentially this movie is just a reflection of their show and how certain people react to it, which is why I love this movie so much. So anyways, the kids get in trouble for watching this movie, and the parents overreact, so they start this club that turns into this nationwide movement to get rid of Terrence and Phillip anything, and to try them as war criminals because they're poisoning the minds of their kids. So, and each kid has their own arc. Like, Stan has an arc with wanting to kiss Wendy, but, you know, he can't. Cartman gets in trouble because he's the one that's, like, swearing the most, so he gets a chip put into his head, and every time he says something bad, he gets an electric shock. Kenny dies, of course, because Kenny used to die all the time.
You he bastard!
Kenny has an arc where he doesn't get into heaven, but he gets into hell, and you meet Saddam Hussein and Satan and their gay love relationship. And Kyle's arc. What's Kyle's arc? Shit, I should have watched the movie today. Hold on, I'll figure it out. Kyle. Yeah, it's with him and his mom. So Kyle just wants to, you know, like, mom, if you have a problem with the, you know, the way I talk, or, you know, the things that I watch, like, come to me. Don't blame other people. Like, blame me. So those are the arcs. And in the end, Saddam Hussein tries to convince Satan to rule the world. And in the end, Satan throws Saddam into hell and kills him again. And the world is saved. Kenny gets to go to heaven. And it ends in a great number. And throughout this whole film, there's the mothers. What is it? Mothers Against
Canada.
Canada, Mac, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Mothers Against Canada. Like, they have a song, like, there's a round song between the La Resistance members, the Mac members, yep. the people in the military. Like, that's the closing. If you were watching an actual stage show, that would be the end of the first act.
Well, what they did is, yeah, they took pieces of famous musicals, like the way that the music was. So it opens up just the way Beauty and the Beast does.
Yeah.
The Disney film, the round song, that is very much Les Mis.
Yep, very Les Mis. It's one day more. Les Mis.
Yeah, Les Mis is a huge inspiration for this. So they base it on all these hugely popular musicals, and they model this movie after it. And I think they did a stand up job. I mean, heck, they did well enough doing something like this, so they created their own musical.
I was going to say, yeah, they did the same thing for Book of Mormon, where, you know, there's a tap number, there's a round number, there's, you know, there's all these different, like, staples in music, or musicals specifically, and, you know, they're, I mean, and it's not, South Park wasn't their first musical either. They did Cannibal the Musical,
yes.
Right out of college, which it's all right. It's rough to watch, but I like the what they tried to do, and I don't know, man. These guys, I'm a bit of a fanboy with South Park, and I'm admitting that now. But I really think these guys. I mean, there's a reason why they're at, what, 20-plus seasons now? Like, they still get the viewership, and they're still topical. I know they're having a tough time during the Trump presidency, because basically they can't write anything anymore that's, you know, pertaining to him. But these guys are super smart, and they're super close to the EGOT, too. Like, they have the Emmy, they have the Grammy, and they have the Tony.
Yep.
But they don't have the Oscar, because they lost... They lost to Phil Collins for this movie. Collins.
So they were nominated for Best Song for Blame Canada. And there is a fantastic version of it done at the Oscars by Robin Williams.
Yep.
That I'll try to remember to post that in this so that you can view it. But yeah, they were nominated for an Oscar. They came close to being EGOT, which is crazy.
Yeah, considering, like, you know, they're just doing dirty toilet humor, but...
Yeah. So, yeah, and in the end of the movie, yeah, the boys don't learn a lesson. And that's like every episode of the TV show. They really don't learn anything, right? There's not growth, because everyone goes on to the next day, which I think a lot is a reflection of the way things work, right? Like, that's... I remember when this show started and the dirty language and all that, and they said, well, you know, go to any school and listen to third graders talk.
Yeah.
This is mild compared to what they say. So I
remember being one of two people who watched that first episode in 97 and, like, going to school the next day and be like, oh, did you see what they did, what they said? Again, I went to Catholic school, so we didn't really start swearing until high school, but...
Well, they didn't start swearing until season, like, 10 or whatever, when they started saying shit and things like that.
Hell,
in the show.
They did an entire episode with shit. To see how many times they could say shit.
And they got fined.
And it only aired once unedited. The first time it aired, it was unedited. Now if you see the rerun, they'll edit it out because standards and practices are a bunch of pussies. But they continually, and you see it with their movies, and you see it, like, they take creative leaps. They try to do different things because they get bored doing the same thing. That's why, like, in South Park, eventually they started doing, like, seasons where they had, like, an arc, or they stopped killing Kenny. You know, they switch it up to still keep it like South Park, but I don't know. I feel like I watch The Simpsons now, and I know everybody rags on New Simpsons. I just don't watch enough New Simpsons to have an opinion on it, but I eventually stopped because it just seemed like it was the same thing. South Park never has felt like that for me.
Yeah, I would say like the third or fourth time that Lisa was a vegetarian episode or vegan episode.
Homer did the worst thing ever, and now Marge is going to leave him for the 30th time. Like,
right? You know, yeah. I think the Simpsons are kind of stuck in there. You know, they are still tied to a more traditional family sitcom.
Yeah, and I mean,
and you have writers that will rotate out. So you had early season writers, and now you have a completely different writing team. And the original creators are barely touching it probably anymore. I mean, I can't see Matt Groening doing anything with that show anymore except collecting money. But Trey Parker and Matt Stone are still heavily involved in every single episode.
Yeah, everything that they do, they touch.
So you can have that freedom, and they can make sure that they don't repeat things. I mean, they had a whole episode about how The Simpsons did it. Because there's a character trying to do something new, and Simpsons did it.
Yeah, it was Butters trying to do all these, like, as Professor Chaos, he was trying to take over the world, and his sidekick, General Disarray, kept telling him, oh, no, The Simpsons did that. It's true, because, like, The Simpsons literally have done everything.
Have done everything, except their Die movie Hard? Did not appear on the top 100 list.
What?
The Simpsons movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I like the Simpsons movie. I don't think it's worthy to be on this list, though.
No, I don't either. So let's talk a little bit about some of the talents. So we talked about Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
A little bit, yeah.
Yep.
Which, that's like 70% of your voice cast right there.
70% of your voice casting. Isaac Hayes is Chef. That's the one kind of big name that they had.
Yeah, they had him from day one.
Yep. And then he left after a Scientology episode, and he has since, of course, passed away. So then looking at the rest, because a lot of they had a lot of celebrities who love this and want to be on it.
Yeah, very late 90s celebrities. Yeah.
Yes. So George Clooney, Brent Spiner, Minnie Driver, Dave Foley.
Eric Idle is Dr. Voschnacker.
So, and a lot of these celebrities showed up on their TV show as well.
Yeah.
Doing anything. Mike Judge was Kenny's voice.
Clooney played Sparky the gay dog in season one. All he did was bark.
But then you also have, so Trey Parker and Matt Stone do 90% of them men's voices. And Mary Kay Bergman did pretty much all the female voices.
Yeah. Well, especially when the show first came out, it was literally those three.
Yep.
Doing everything.
And unfortunately, she passed away.
Yeah, she committed suicide.
Yeah.
It was right after the premiere. She committed suicide. And actually, I know so much South Park history, it's not even funny. So after they made this movie, they still had like 20 hours of recording time that they never used from the studio. So they decided to make a Mr. Hanky Christmas album. And then the last episode for that season was going to promote that album. And in one of the songs, or at the end of the episode, they show all of Mary Kay Bergman's characters up with the kids while Mr. Hanky sings a Christmas song. It hit them pretty hard because they didn't know she suffered from depression, and it just kind of happened suddenly. But
yeah, and obviously, you know, things were looking pretty bright for those two guys as well, and bringing her along and not seeing the signs or not knowing. And this, you know, 99. That was, you know, almost 20 years ago now.
Oh, fuck.
So, I think we've become much more aware of signs of depression. You know, not 100%, but at least it's been talked about more. It's not just, oh, they're sad, or oh, they're having a bad day. It, you know, people are beginning to recognize the signs, and more people are seeking help instead of just saying thinking that they can get through it or whatever. So I totally get, like, in 99 where they would not have recognized that.
Well, and I mean, that was, I mean, they hadn't even peaked yet, but, like, they were on top of the world and all over the place. And I mean, I could see how you'd miss that, because they were really good friends with her too. But a lot of times depressed people will hide that shit very well.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I hide it most of the time. So, and not that I'm the same as Mary, but, you know, I can see where they wouldn't see it, because I try so hard not to let people know I'm depressed. So anyways, that enough about my personal bullshit.
Well, it was a sad, I mean, it's a sad goodbye. I mean, this is kind of her last big thing that she was in with them.
Yeah.
Or in general. So Trey Parker and Matt Stone. So we've talked about them already. Obviously they're multi-talented. They what I like about them too, I mean, you talked about they always do different things, but at the same time they are always trying different things. So, you know, whether it be animation or, you know, being in front of the screen in basketball or Orgasmo. You know, and again, we're not going to get into this, but they also did a marionette puppet thing, which they'll never do again in Team America.
I'm not going to say anything because you told me I can't talk about it.
That's right. But it's, and let's not forget Broadway. Just impressive on both of them. I think Trey Parker is the bigger face, right? I mean, he's doing more. He's more out there than Matt Stone is. Not to take anything away from Matt Stone.
Matt Stone's the behind the scenes guy. Like, he's a smart businessman. Like, there's a reason why their relationship works well.
Yeah, because they're not competing with each other. They're able to complement each other so well.
Yeah, they're not polar opposites, but they're opposites in the places that count, especially in this business.
Well, and the fact, I mean, how many professional relationships in the entertainment world?
I was just going to say this, yeah.
Last this long. I mean, South Park started what in
97.
97.
And they were together before that. Right. Yeah.
And that's impressive. Yeah, Cannibal was in 93. I'm not sure when. So South Park started as a Christmas card, as a Christmas movie.
Jesus versus Santa.
Yep. And celebrities got to see it and sharing it online. I mean, where would they be without the internet?
Yeah, well, the internet and the VHS, because people, like, it got passed around at a corporate Christmas party, and somebody, like, made duplicates of the tapes and started handing them around, and then it eventually made it online, and it was, like, this secret thing in Hollywood. Like, oh, have you seen the Jesus versus Santa? Like, it... I don't know, man. Like, it's still weird. Like, if you put in enough work and if you're good enough, like, that weird random act of whatever happens, whether you believe in karma or a higher being, like, if you put in the work and you do good work, most importantly, you will get noticed.
Well, and the fact that they're able to stay in Colorado where they want to work, right? Like, they don't.
No, they work in L.A.
Do they now?
Oh, yeah, they've always been in L.A.
Okay. I thought they were in Colorado for a while, and that's the whole...
They may have started there, but no. Comedy Central, no, they're L.A.
Okay. So, Chris, edit this out so that...
So you don't sound stupid.
Look like an idiot. Yeah. No, and like you said, like, they're able to remain topical, and I think that keeps the show fresh.
Yeah. Right?
Because every week there's some new shit going on. And this is going to have TVMA ratings, so don't worry about swear words this episode. I already said fuck, so...
fuck, funny, fuck, fuck, fuck.
So, yeah, I mean, you have all the news cycle going on, And they're able to have kind of an off season too. Like they can put seasons on when they want. Comedy Central has given them pretty much that, so they can be on when something like SNL isn't on. Because SNL is a show that takes the week of what happened and makes fun of it. This show does similar things, and they can get things in so quick. I mean, there's so many examples. I mean, they've been around 20 years now. So
what? And I know we're supposed to be talking about the movie, but you can't talk about the movie without the show.
Yeah.
What's your favorite episode of the show?
Oh man.
It doesn't have to be anything specific. I'll start first. Anything that has Butters or Randy in it, I'm in 100%. Those are my two favorite characters. And like in the movie, they're really not fleshed out. But like around season 4 or 5, you could tell the guys were like, all right, we need more characters because we're getting tired of writing for the kids. Anything like the Walmart episode with Randy, or the Blockbuster episode with Randy, or the medicinal marijuana episode with Randy. Anything with Randy. I love Randy. He's so good. He's such an idiot, but he's so great.
I think I love season 3. I'm just kind of looking at him now because that's where they the Tweak versus Craig.
Oh, Tweak versus Craig.
Yep. I was an early Tweak fan. But they started pushing. So season 3 was also 99. So this is when they thought Trey Parker and Matt Stone thought, okay, they're gonna cancel us. So fuck it. Let's just do what we want to do.
Yeah.
So the two guys in the hot tub episode.
That was a season where every episode was like 1990. It had 2000 in the title.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. With Randy and us, Gerald in the hot tub,
naked together.
Oh, they watch each other jerk off.
Yeah.
And then Gerald got really weird about it and possessive about it.
Yeah, the red badge of gayness where the Civil War was recreated. Cartman kept getting everybody drunk so that they'd actually fight.
It's funny, Tweak versus Craig, later on, it was like 3 seasons ago, there's Tweak and Craig are now dating. it's a nice episode because somebody starts the rumor that they're dating even though they're not, and then through that like mishap they found that they actually do like being with each other, but they leave it ambiguous, like they're just together. It's not like a sexual thing or whatever, they're just together. And it's cool how South Park tries to normalize like easy shit like that. And I know I'm a stupid cuck snowflake, but whatever. I'll shut my mouth.
So, okay. So here's a trivia question for you from the movie. And hopefully you didn't read all the IMDb trivia already.
No.
What major character in the movie does not swear?
All 4 of the boys do, I know. Oh man, that's a hard one. Sheila?
No, Satan.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep,
because like he's a big softy.
Yep, Satan does not. Yeah, Satan has a major part. Same with dead Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, you like that, don't you, bitch? Are you the there, sound Chad? Design of it. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Do you hear me? Hello? Christoph? Do you see me? Chris?
Hi.
I could see you the whole time.
Could you? Okay, you like disappeared and I couldn't hear you.
Oh, yeah, I heard you.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, so trivia Satan questions. Doesn't swear. That whole subplot is great. Like Saddam Hussein being overbearing and like telling Satan what to do, and Satan's like there's all these little subplots in this movie, and which is great because that you really do need like little, not big arcs, but you need little arcs in a musical in order to make it work, because a lot of times musicals rely on other characters to have their own songs, so your main actress can go in the back and switch into her costume for the next scene. Like, musicals are specifically made in a way so they can have bigger casts. It's not always the rule, but it's written like a musical. It's animated like a musical, but it's still it's an hour and 20 minute South Park episode with more music.
Well, right, and they do. I was just about to say that they do treat this basically as an episode, because some of the storylines they come back to in a different season, like with Satan and Saddam Hussein still being. You know, with Saddam Hussein being rejected by Satan as a lover, and Satan now dating, what, Scott, I think his name was?
Yeah.
And Saddam Hussein trying to get in there. So, you know, this is a long episode, basically.
And it's totally canon, too.
So yeah, it is, I think, just because of its cutting edgeness with... I mean, even now with the swear words and, you know, some of the advice the adults are giving the kids and all that, like, this would still be controversial today. Not as much, because I think South Park and Family Guy and other things have kind of cooled those waters down a little bit. But I still think this is a very entertaining film today. I know I had fun watching it again.
I mean, there have been so many late nights where I've just put this on and fallen asleep or just had it on loop. Like, the music's great. Everybody has a good arc. The story's solid. They have their, like, the scene where, you know, they create a military to fight the Canadians because now Canada and America are at war because Canada bombed the Baldwins. And, like, they have this military, and, you know, they make a statement where everybody that's dressed up in military BDUs, they're all black, but then everybody that they're protecting are all white, and what is it called? Operation Get Behind the Darkies?
Yes.
Like, which makes a bold statement in general, but it's also a really good joke in the context of that scene. So, I don't know. I recommend, if you don't like South Park, you're probably not going to like this movie, but I do think as a musical, it's solid. And if you can't watch it as a musical and still find, like, people thought they were going to hate Book of Mormon, like they were just going to bash, you know, religion or, you know, Mormonism or religion in general. And they do, but at the same time, they don't. And it's really weird. And I don't know. Have you seen Book of Mormon?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's some people will get offended by that, but they're
most likely not going to go to it. I had a friend who is Mormon, and he had a saying that so for like movies or anything. You know, if it's like he avoids movies with swear words and swear words, nudity, anything like that. You know, even if it's PG-13, if he knows there's swear words, then he's going to be like, I'm not going to go. And his whole saying is, well, if I brought you a pan of brownies and I said, yeah, there's one little piece of poop in there, would you eat the brownies?
I mean, I guess, but if he wants to be a big dork about it.
That's what he said, you know. So I talked to him about Book of Mormon because he knew I was going. He's like, yeah, I've heard the music is really good, but I'm just not going to listen to it. I'm like, that's fine.
Man, another thing I had, I had that the music memorized for that show before I actually even saw the show. Which is probably bad, but show's good. Everything that they do is, it's always like a B+ or better. Like, they've never, Orgasmo, I guess, but you can't, whatever. I'm getting too far ahead. I feel like this could be a fucking 3-hour podcast with me.
I know. I think we're going to wrap it up right around here.
That's fine.
So what? Yeah. So great film. I think we both liked it a lot. Deserves to be on this list. Our next film is from 1962. It's our first foreign language film.
I'm going to have to actually watch it.
Yes, The Exterminating Angel.
Sounds like a laugh riot.
It's a dark comedy. So it is from Mexico.
I was going to ask if it was French. It's Mexican. Okay.
Mexican. Yep. So that's our next film from 1962. So Chad, any final thoughts or things you'd like to share?
James Hetfield's in this movie. He does the heaven to hell transition for Kenny.
He does.
Vocals for that. Yeah. Everybody forgets about that.
And that is the one song that is not on the soundtrack.
The soundtrack, yep. Those are my thoughts.
Those are good final thoughts there.
Oh, I'm tired.
All right. So everyone, we would recommend that you watch it. Leave your comments, your thoughts about the film. Were you offended by it? Were you not offended by it? Did you like it? Did you love it?
Did you want some more of it?
Yes. And just, you know, remember, everybody, Lord loves a working man. Don't trust Whitey. See a doctor and get rid of it. Till next time.
Why did my bruise there? Ow. Okay.
The Filmological Society is a production of Redacted Media in association with Ghost Hat Media. For more information, find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, or visit us at www.ghosthat.net.